So, we made it to a second episode. In for his stream close-up today, Dragomir Gago Mirsic. But before we get started, we have a little housekeeping to attend to. It seems we have a Twitter account. So if you want to reach out with comments or ideas for the show, hit us up at StreamCloseUp on Twitter. We'll try to put stuff up there on a regular basis. We put up some links to the videos that we talked to Amir Shamdeen about in episode 1, so you can find those there. Once again, we're on Twitter, at StreamCloseUp. Well, we're really happy that you found us. I'm Brian Laffin. This podcast is produced by Jose Fernandez. And let's get to it. This is episode 2 of Stream Close-Up. Drop a beat, Jose. Joining us for his stream close-up today, Dragomir Gago Mirsic. As a teenager, Gago won a Nordic championship in Taekwondo. And shortly after that success, he was convicted for bank robbery. He's coached at an elite level and covered the Olympic Games as an expert commentator. He's probably best known for his role as Murado in Snabba Cash, or for his turn as Kuntz opposite Tom Cruise in the Hollywood blockbuster Edge of Tomorrow. As we will learn, Gago has had a very busy year. He's here to talk to us about his latest project, the police drama Alex. To say the least, this man has some stories to tell. Welcome to the show, Dragomir Gago Mirsic.
Thank you, sir.
You're here today promoting your latest project, which is Alex. It's a brand new series about to release on Viaplay. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Alex and your character without giving too much away?
He's a father with a lot of like love and empathy in himself. And in the same time, he's like a street level corrupt cop.
Okay, so he's a cop.
Yeah, he's a cop. Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out things his own way. Like he knows that you can't go by the rules, so he bends a little bit on the rules.
Solves problems realistically.
Yeah, exactly. You could say like that.
Okay. And I understand that your son has a role in this.
Yeah, he plays my son.
Nice. Have you worked with him before on anything?
We did this trailer like 7 years ago. It's more like a short movie, half an hour. And he was also a little bit in Easy Money, first one.
Okay, wow. What role did he have there?
He was a little bit stronger than an extra. He was in the shop and I was following him and his father.
Okay.
And bought the same thing in the store because know what to buy.
Yeah, I remember that scene when your daughter climbs back
Daniel
into your
really
life.
Daniel really wanted him because we could take somebody from Göteborg, but Daniel said, Espinosa, I want him, so you have to take him from Stockholm here. So
Very nice.
He saw something in him, talent. So
hang on, he has the same career arc as you, breaks through in Snabba Cash,
He's
working on Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, everyone knows you from your breakthrough Snabba Cash, but you've been working with film for a little bit longer than that, actually.
Yeah. I started like maybe like 11, 12 years ago, a little bit like played like extra in Exit and Gangster and some other small things. And then I did Leo, Yusuf Fares movie.
Yeah.
Then I did Wallander also, some small part in that. Mm-hmm. Then I think Easy Money came.
Boom.
Or Snabba Cash.
Boom. And we'll go back to all of that, but you're having a moment or a year. I mean, I guess I'd call this the year of Gago. January started with Inanvidor on SVT, and you have a role there where you're playing a cop?
Inanvidor? Yeah. I'm playing a cop. I was really actually planting him for Alex.
Aha.
Yeah, because he's working in Stockholm with murders and that. And then I told him, if you're going to call me something, call me Alex. But they didn't know that. Because I know then he's going to move from Stockholm to Gothenburg, because Alex is working like a cop in Gothenburg. So that was my little bit secret mission.
Start planting the seeds there. Yeah. And I know Niklas Rockström is a writer on In Unvidor. He's also working with you guys on Alex.
Yeah, he was one of the latest scriptwriters in Alex. We have been like working with almost 10 scriptwriters from the beginning, because I worked with this project for 8 years now, in physically. Like.
You hear that, kids? If you want to get something done, you have to really be persistent in this business.
Yeah, patience and persistence, that's the key word, man.
You did another feature film this year, Klovendrum, where you play a coach. It's got David Nzinga, who's in Hassel, in it. That came out this year as well.
Yeah, it's coming. We're still working on that project. Yeah. So
when do we see that?
I have to talk to Nzinga about that, because I have so much that I'm working on now that I'm putting all my 100% focus.
I know we're only scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
You've got three other feature films in production or pre-production where you're acting and working in a producing role.
Yeah, I'm coming out with one, Keda, in November that I did in Denmark 2 years ago. It's a future movie also with Stina Ekblad and Sofia Helin. It's coming out in November. Then Bonus Familien 2 is coming out in January. That I'm in, and then I'm working on season 2 and on Alex and two other projects, and I'm working on in December with an international project that I'm going to shoot in Belgium, Finland, and Georgia.
Okay, and all of that, we didn't even mention Torpedona. Season 2 Torpedona is going out there.
Yeah, it's coming out. We won the Crystal.
Congratulations. Way to go. Torpedona. Way to go. Nice. This is a real sea change happening here. You know, for the first time this year, we have shows that are produced by non-linear companies that are starting to win these big awards. Yeah. I mean, it's happened in the States, but it's finally starting to happen here in Scandinavia in a nice way. It must be an exciting time to be a content creator here now that there's so many more options, places to go with your work.
Yeah, exactly. That's so nice when you have like to go to like two production companies. Now you have like 10. So it's give you options to people, to more people to get creative, get involved in this. And it's not so closed. The door is, you have more door to open. And Viaplay is one of the one who has some, they're there.
So you really feel that as a creator now, that it's a time to be here in Scandinavia, making television, making film.
Yeah, I think it's the right place now to be. Scandinavia is really good because we have been in the loop now for a while. Mm-hmm. So now it's just you have more options, and options gives opportunity. So
and you seem to be just taking advantage of these opportunities in a big way.
I'm grateful that I'm in the loop. So.
And if that's not enough, I hear you also working on some video games, doing some voicing and some characters.
Yeah. I'm actually in Payday 2 character, Dragon, who's
a hard guy.
Yeah, hard guy. He makes the nice heists. Then I'm also in a new video game that's coming out in a couple of months.
Do people recognize you from the video game? I mean, that game is crazy.
Yeah, because, you know, gamers are really like, they really love their fans. Like, they are the real nerds. So I like them. I have from China, from everywhere around the world, because you have gamers everywhere. And they are really faithful, man.
That's an odd phenomenon. You're a well-known actor, you've been in some huge films, I mean some massive budget films, for example, but people know you as a gamer. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. And also, of course, from the movies also, because I have the great luck to be in not too many, but great productions.
Some pretty interesting stuff.
So that's, I don't like to jump in everything. I try to be a little bit selective with what I do.
Hang on, you're working on, 13 things right now? You don't jump into everything.
No, I have more thing offer out there, man.
Wow, you must be in a high, high demand. And okay, so you're doing film, you're doing television, you're doing games, and you're also running your gym still?
No.
No, okay.
2 years ago, I still in it, but I don't have the time.
To so be,
my wife and I have a guy who is taking my part.
Okay, but so you still have ownership but you're not there hands-on the same way. All right, I want to go through all these films that we've mentioned and talk a little bit about each of them, but I'd like to go back a little bit before all of this. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with your story. You have quite the experience before you even started talking about going into film. I mean, you came up a little bit hard, if I can say it that way. But you were very accomplished, even as a very young man. What were you, 17, 18 years old when you won the Nordic Championship in Taekwondo?
Yeah, I was 18 years when I won the Scandinavian Championship in Taekwondo. And black belt grade, first dan.
And that must take amazing discipline to reach that kind of level.
Yeah, of course. And my teacher, he was like who started with Taekwondo. He was from Korea, so it was like discipline was the first thing, and inner strength. So, and that's what I like to train, because I have a little bit rough home, not so much, and all kids like discipline. So I remember when I went to my training, it was like everybody was equal, everybody was respected each other, and it was I felt like more like a home. This way it should be in a home too.
Okay, so you found something you wanted to be
a part
of.
Yeah. So, and my idol was Bruce Lee also, so I wanted to accomplish things like him to make my own martial art and make movies. And
so you're on your way. I don't think Bruce Lee did any video games.
No, I'm ahead of him now. So
nice. Wow. So that must be pretty satisfying to look back and realize, hey, as a kid, I was a Bruce Lee fan. I had this dream and I'm actually doing it.
Yeah. It's sometimes I have to stop and think like... I was a little bit when I was young, scared to not be a part of the society. Because for me, it doesn't matter why. I was not thinking to be like a movie star, but I always felt that I have something in me more than 9-to-4 mm-hmm. work.
Yeah.
I was a lot of, when I was alone, a child, I was a lot alone. So I was thinking a lot, and I have a lot of... things that I want to do, and now I'm doing it, so I'm really satisfied.
So you've wanted this from a young age.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But you took a little sidestep along the way.
Yeah.
And I mean, and we talk about little sidestep, maybe we should say a very big sidestep. You were part of what was at the time the biggest heist in Swedish history.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest in the world, actually.
What leads a young man to make that decision?
For me, I can only talk from my side.
Yeah.
For me, it was like I had like a lot of energy. I wanted to do something, and I did everything. Everybody, I went to college. I went to I have my driving license, all the basic thing.
Check.
Check. And a little bit hard to get in, to get work. Mm. My parents didn't put me in Sweden. We have some bostadskö. You get apartments when you.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I tried to get job. I couldn't find it. They, nobody could give me money and that. So I was thinking, and I was still watching a lot of movies. I was loved Point Break. And so I was thinking I can do that too. Mm. And it started in Sweden, robberies and that a little bit heist was in to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it like you were romanticizing a little bit of it too, or was it like a romantic thought as much as anything else?
I'm not like romantic, but I knew I could do it like better than the rest. And it was also like that. Mm-hmm. I just want to go in and out, no violence. Just I was just in there for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe the rush, but first of all, it was the money.
Mm-hmm.
I needed really the money, because the society is all about the money.
Yeah,
the money is the worst things that people do. It's like
it's a measuring stick. It's the lubricant. It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get into this bit of trouble, and despite your your certainty that you can do it better, it doesn't quite work out for you guys. DNA, yeah, people talking, things fall apart at the end of the
day. They caught us 6 years later.
Were you, I don't know how much you want to talk, were you in Sweden this time? Are you on the run? Or
No, I was in Sweden. I was on the run, I have been on the run three times. I escaped from the court. I was on the front page in all newspapers when I was 20 years old. I escaped, and I was then in the Swedish national team. So it was a little bit,
the headline, the scandal.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this now. So, and you end up going to jail for this.
Yeah.
So that's serious stuff. And not everyone sort of can recover from this. And you've done this pivot to.
Yeah, because I saw. I knew how it's going to go with you if you are on that road. Otherwise, you're going to be going to jail out, or you're going to die, or you're going to die in drug abuses, like my brother and sister and my father and my friends have gone that way. So I knew that I have to take a step at the side. And when I came out from prison in 99, I was now it's over.
Yeah, but it's still, it's not like everyone's looking to hire you after you have that credit your...
No, I knew it's going to be... I was so scared, man. I was just scared to go back to school to talk about what I have done to people. I don't want to sit in the classroom and lie to people. I have been done this for 10 years working. I can't say I'm a robber. I'm being in prison because people judge you.
Yeah, of course.
Really easy these days and always.
Oh, we love rushing to judgment. That's the sport of the moment.
Yeah. So I was really scared. But I like to do things that I'm scared of.
And when you came out, you said you started studying. Was that Boson? Was that going into...
Yeah, exactly. I started to study at Boson. And in the same time... Yeah,
for people who don't know what it is, that's an elite athletics center. I mean, people train for the Olympics. People come from all over the world to do their
exactly.
stuff.
And I was studying for 4 years. And in the same time, I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like trainer in the Swedish top team.
The Olympic
top team.
The Swedish Olympic Committee. So that's a welcome back for anchoring, a stamp that says I'm doing something right.
Yeah, and I was okay, my first job, and I haven't yet started a school. Mm-hmm. I'm not finished with my school. I get a job as a trainer in the Swedish Olympic top team.
Nice start.
I was like, this is okay. They're going to call me soon when they know my background and sorry. And I understand them if they do that, because this is the Olympic team.
Yeah.
And I have maybe been out for 8 months or 1 year for bank robberies, so it's not easy. And people called the sports chief there.
To complain.
The manager to complain. But he said, okay, I see what Dragomir is doing. Who the fuck are you?
Okay. He's going to let you stand
on
your own.
He let me, and I am always grateful to him, and always he showed me that. And it's a Swedish guy. I'm a Serb and from criminal background and blah blah blah, and he still was no worries, man.
Yeah, but
I showed him.
Yeah, but somewhere you're also a taekwondo champion and an athlete with discipline also.
Yeah. And everybody can go on the wrong way, so it's and everybody has right to a second chance. And I took my chance there. Then I started my own gym and my own training way, only training with your body.
Okay.
And I got a lot of producers and actors coming to train at my place. And so that's how I came into the movies.
I want to keep going down there, but one quick question. This story that you've just told me sounds like something from fiction, the bank robbery when I read about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're a producer yourself. Is this something you've ever thought about putting on film as a story?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I have, and I use my experience from that, from all the people I have met. I have sit down with terrorists, with all kind of people, and just talk to them. All that input I get... from different kind of people I talked to. I've been with athletes, Olympian champions, musicians, actors, producer, directors, the biggest, the smallest.
And now you're stuck here with us.
Yeah. And I work with kids from 4 years old at my gym for 10 years. I have like 80 kids every week to take care of. So I have the big spread, you know, with people, social people. So I use that a lot. And the small thing that you can't read about, the details in, if you make a robbery or a heist or something else, you know.
Yeah, so, that's where the story is. Everyone sees the headline, But I'm sure that you guys have some story lurking back. And just, we don't want to drag anyone else into it, but the guys you were running with, they were actually working on a film at the time when this is going down? They're working on Sirkina?
What do you mean?
When you guys did the heist, one of the guys you were running with, he was working on that film, Sirkina, at the time?
Yeah. We did that heist. Then after that, I stopped. I started to work with somebody else.
Okay.
Because I didn't, you can't be in two worlds.
Okay.
For me. Otherwise, you are heist, you do heists, or you are a person for the people.
Okay.
And so he did his choice and I did my choice. So
separate ways.
After that, we did separate ways.
I just think it's fascinating that there's a film going on in the background.
Yeah.
Another dimension to the storytelling that's going on there.
That was crazy, yeah.
But again, not everyone makes the move from sort of having that background to where you've come. I would really say congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Congratulations on all of it. Once again, everyone knows you, I guess, from Snabba Cash in 2010. That was sort of a big break. But as you said, you worked on a couple of things prior to that. Yosef Ferris, Leo, and Gangster. And so that was through connections at the gym? Is that where you were heading there?
Yeah, I was heading there. I worked, and he's a personal friend of mine, Malte Forsell.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, Yosef Ferris is working on a movie for a couple of years now. Leo, he's really trying to get some badass actors from Serbia, he won. So can you help him out? And I said, for sure, man. So I met up with Yosef and I found like 10 guys and they try out and he was like, can you try?
You're not a casting director, you're an actor.
Yeah, can you try? I said, no, man, I can't. Joking, this is like a joke. I want to do serious things. But do serious, do like you want to harass this guy. I said, like I want to do? He said, yeah, man. And I did like, I wanted to say, come on, like, please. And that movie we did, we didn't have one page of script. Everything was improvising, the whole movie. We just came to set, this we're going to do today. Do so, like you want to do.
Sounds like the evil version of Larry David.
Yeah, man.
So then you have a taste for it. You're thinking, this is really what I want to do.
People was, oh, you're really good on the screen. You have a charisma and you're going to do this more. I was like, if the opportunities come, I'm doing my stuff now.
Okay, so how does the Snabba Cash opportunity come then?
Daniel Espinosa was actually assisting Yosef Ferris in Leo.
Okay.
So, and he liked me there. So he called me and said, can you cast for another part in Easy Money? Because Mrado in Easy Money, in the book, he's 2 meter and like,
But you have a menace that doesn't have anything to do with size on the screen. It works.
Yeah, Daniel told he got like a lot of big guys, you know, and he said in some interview, everyone that came in, I compared them with Dragon. They were acting, and he. I try not to act when I don't know how I. So and he said, okay, do you want to do this part, Mrado? I said,
absolutely.
Let's try it out. And it worked.
And there's a lot of range. I mean, sure, there's the menacing Rado. I mean, that establishing shot when you guys go in and, you know, wipe out the security at the restaurant. And there's a real menace there. But then that's a character who's sort of also becoming an old head. He's not the first one that wants to go to war. And then he's got the issue when his daughter's in his life and he's living in those two worlds. So it's not just you being this menacing guy. There's a lot going on there. It really is a great role.
Yeah, I like it because Mrado, he has a lot of emotion in himself and empathy. And he's, like I said, the one guy who is thinking and saying correct thing to Jivi, Joel Kinnaman. Yeah. And like, this is a world you... you won't be in. Everybody thinking of themselves. Everybody's going to have it.
Yeah, that's also the weird part. You've kind of become his mentor.
Exactly.
This is what's going to happen to you, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm telling him, and when I killed them, when we do this heist and take their coke from them, I killed them. I killed them because of him, because I know they're going to come after him.
Him, right.
You know, so it's for all the bad things he do. He has something, he's not doing them from evil. You have to do them like...
From some other place.
Yeah,
real human emotions.
Yeah.
God, it looks so evil.
And that's the strange thing. He like kills a lot of people, but still people loves him.
Let me ask, Snabbakash, the book was a success, Easy Money. When you're doing the film, do you feel that it's going to be as big as it is? I mean, because it really made a mark.
Yeah, when you're doing book, you're always a little bit scared, you know, because... people who read books, they want you to film every page in the book, you know.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's not how I would have done it.
so you know that they're going to compare it and it's going to be, but I think we succeed.
You absolutely succeed. But again, then, did you feel like while you're making it that this is going to be a hit, or do you have any idea while you're doing it?
No. Not a hit like that.
Okay.
No, I was feeling that I'm doing something good. Because when we read the script and everyone, I felt this is not like something you have been done before in Sweden. And it came from a lawyer, Jens Lapidus, and he's been in it. He's not just a regular scriptwriter. He's a lawyer who sit down with these guys and, you know, so he has a little bit of details.
Yeah.
Because they had told him. So...
It's again great role, and I watched it again just to get ready for this interview. I really had a great time watching it. Really a lot going on there. We'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Hollywood blockbusters and talk a little more about Alex with Gago. This is Stream Close Up. Yeah, welcome back. We're here with Dragomir Gago Mirsic, the star of Viaplay's latest release, Alex. We're running through his career. We've talked about Snabbakash and a few other incidents from your life. We don't have to go back any further on those. But after Snabbakash, which is quite a success here in Scandinavia, you end up in one of the biggest films of the time, Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise. And that's a film with almost a $200 million budget.
Yeah, that was crazy.
First of all, how do you end up as Kunz, the man of few words, on Edge of Tomorrow? How does that happen?
It was my agent, Laura Munsterhjelm. She sent me to London to meet up with some casting agencies. She didn't want me to send some tapes or, she didn't want a personal feeling on me. And they said, we have some, maybe a part for you. Then the same summer came and they sent me a script to send the tape. So I sent two tapes, I think.
Hang on now. They send you a script. You have like one line in the film. It's a great line.
Yeah, but it was a script they sent. Because this guy has no lines. In All You Need Is Skill is based on a book. Yeah, you know, so I think he's deaf or something.
Mm.
So I tried out for that and I went down to London, UK to see, meet up with Doug Liman and Irvin Staff, the producer. And... on that way.
And how do you feel like on a set that's where they're putting that much into the budget? What's the difference like on between that and Snabbakash? I mean, not many people have that experience. It'd be great to hear what that's like.
On set, sometimes it should not be so much different because everybody's working, you know, like 100%. You know, in, but of course, when it's, you know, you have everything when you do a Hollywood production. They really, really know how to take care of the actors. For my part, it was like that. And like everybody who has their own mission is doing it 100%. And nobody else can touch you, do what you're doing. So everybody's like... I don't know if they know they can be changed fast or what it is, but it's a little bit more, in the, everybody's a little bit more focused. But when we did Easy Money, it was like on set for me, it was the same because it's a set.
You're in a character. You're focusing on the story.
You don't think so much about the around you, what happens, and if it's. Of course, it was Tom Cruise next to me. I can say it was the same, but you know, I had bad days when I was shooting Edge of Tomorrow because it was really, really tough shooting.
Physically tough.
Yeah, 45 kilos. This exosuit we had on us.
And you have to do it over and over and over again.
Sometimes I was like, oh, I just want to go. Then I was, next to me is Tom Cruise. Doug Liman is directing. Okay, Gago, come on.
Have a good day.
This is
a good day somehow.
Yeah, this is a good day, man. So,
and what was that like working with Tom Cruise? What was he like?
He was really cool, man. He was really like taking care of everybody, talking with us. He was like, the first day we met him, he just said to us, guys, anything I have, you should have. So you just tell me. So
he was a generous guy.
He was like a friend on... like really thinking of everybody. He was talking to the extras. He's a cool guy, man.
Oh, nice. Nice to hear. Tell me, where did you shoot that? Is that on a soundstage somewhere?
It was the studios in Livingston or something in London.
In London,
everything
okay.
was in London, yeah.
Okay. So that's the high point of your acting career? I mean, I know it's not the starring role, but do you describe that as the high point of your acting career because it's such a big film?
I think Alex is my high point.
There you go.
Because I created all this and I have worked with this. So for my emotions and my, like, it's Alex, but... to be like, it's not every day you do a sci-fi movie, first of all.
Yeah, not everyone gets the chance.
Exactly. And to work with Tom Cruise and Doug Liman, Emily Blunt, Bill Paxton, all the other guys, it was like, the first 3 weeks, I thought, hey, they're going to call me and say, sorry, we made a mistake. I go back to Stockholm, Sweden.
Seems like a recurring theme for you.
Yeah, so I should not play cool. Yeah, it's the same to do. You know, of course, it was special, and it was my first thing, you know.
Look, on screen, you fit right in with them.
None
of that. None of that comes through at all.
Thank you.
And I like there's a little humor around your character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a neat thing. But let's get back to Alex then. You said you've been working on this you've been working on this for over 10 years. You've had the thought, the idea for the character. So as long as you've been acting and a little bit longer, Alex has been something that you've been kicking around.
Yeah.
So how does it go from this idea, this dream, to actually getting it produced and getting it out so people can see it?
Yeah, that's that's a long way. But I know when something is good. I have always in all kind different of aspects I've been in. So I felt when I always have watched crime movies and cops, and since I was a kid, like with Alain Delon, Jean-Paul Belmondo, and Dirty Harry, Columbo, Beretta.
The classics.
The classic. And the last like 2 decades, especially in Sweden and Scandinavia, it's been a special type of crime movie, cop movies. It's often an older guy who has somebody who's working for them, or a cop, or a girl, and a male cop, 2 cops. That working together, and you know, also like an older that somebody is working for him. So I wanted to take the cop to the street. And I know we have that kind of cop, because I have firsthand experience of my life with the cop working similar Alex.
Okay.
And so I was thinking, we have to do this.
And part of the story is, so Alex is a corrupt cop who's trying to come back?
In some way. He wants to come back, but he knows that it's...
he needs to get stuff done too.
Yeah, done too. And as more as you do, you're more deeper in it. So you understand a little bit?
Sure. They keep pulling me back. What's the line?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So who else is in Alex with you?
It's Rachel Wärmländer. who's in Ghostmaman, and Maximilian Alonso, my son, Anna Björkerid, and Anja Lundqvist, Eric Bolin, some guys, yeah.
Okay, nice cast. Looking forward to seeing that. So what are we going to have? 6, 10, 12 episodes?
Six. And they have asked me, how was you thinking you're going to write 8 or 10 or 6? I didn't think like that. I was thinking to do, first of all, a good script.
Yeah, good. That's the way to start.
We will see if it's 6 or 8. I don't want to have 8 that and just put in things that to be there that is not so interesting. So
I think that's sort of the benefit of the streaming world. It doesn't have to be 60 minutes or 45. It has to be whatever the story needs.
Exactly.
And I know you have to think about, okay, we want to resell these kind of things to broadcast later, but you have a little more freedom.
Yeah, a little more freedom.
So we're looking forward to that starting right now on Viaplay.
3rd of November.
3rd of November, right now. Alex, starring Gago on Viaplay. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for joining
for
us.
Me here.
This is Stream Close Up. Thanks again to Gago for taking the time to join us. Once again, I'm Brian Laffin, and this podcast is produced by Jose Fernandez. Don't forget our Twitter account, @StreamCloseUp, if you want to reach out. We would like to thank the good people at I Like Radio for hosting the podcast and setting us up with the studio. Thanks, guys. If you haven't done it yet, go to I Like Radio and check out all the great podcasts there while we work on the next episode of Stream Close Up. We'll be back soon.